In the passage we read from John's Gospel, chapter 18, we read of how Jesus was apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane and brought first to Annas, who was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year, and then Caiaphas. And we read in verse 15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Then Christ himself is interrogated by the high priest. And then again outside, we read in verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." This account of Peter's denial of Christ, whilst nearby in the palace, the house of the high priest, as Christ himself is interrogated of the high priest, is recorded in all four Gospels. So important is this event, so connected is it with the crucifixion of Christ, the offering of Christ as the Passover lamb, as the offering for sinners. So connected is it with that account and with the centrality of the truth of the gospel that all four gospels record this in very similar manner. They record the setting, the house, the palace of the high priest. They record how Christ is before the high priest and questioned, interrogated, accused. They record how Simon is nearby in the courtyard, warming himself by the coals of the fire, and questioned, Do you know Jesus Christ? Aren't you one of his? Aren't you a follower of him? You know him. And Peter says, I do not. Three times. And the cock cries. And Peter wept bitterly. Yes, all four Gospels record this. They also record the events around it, the setting, the time of the Passover. Jesus had just had supper, the Last Supper, with his disciples at the time of the Passover. They prepared the Passover. They'd eaten it together. He'd sat and he prayed with them. And it's in this context that Christ, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, of which the Passover Lamb was but a figure, the true offering for sin, it's in this context that Christ is taken to the high priest and prepared as a sacrifice to be slain upon the tree. And it is in this context that Peter, a sinner, nearby, looks on, knowing his Saviour, his Passover, is there to be offered, and yet, as a sinner, denies him thrice. In the other three Gospels, we read immediately in the same chapter in which they record this event, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, in the very same chapter preceding Peter's denial, we read of the preparation of the Passover. In Matthew 26, verse 17, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, What wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Likewise in Mark 14:16, we read the very same words. "And they made ready the Passover." And again in Luke 22:13, in the same circumstances, "And they made ready the Passover." In each case, the disciples made ready the Passover. But in truth, their Passover was Christ with them. In John's Gospel, leading up to chapter 18, we read from chapter 13 of how Christ sat at the supper with his disciples, and his teaching and prayer, which follows in the following chapters. In chapter 13, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." In John's Gospel, we read of the supper. We read of what Christ did. But there's no mention of the disciples themselves actually making ready the Passover. Because in John's Gospel, John presents Christ as divine, the Son of God. He is the Passover Lamb. He's the one that comes as the great high priest of his people, who offers himself as the sacrifice, the lamb for his people. He prepares the Passover. Earlier in John, John the Baptist points unto Christ and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Here the Lamb of God is with his disciples. He is their Passover. So there's no mention of them making ready the Passover. For all is of God here. Christ makes ready the Passover. He is the Passover. And here in the house, the palace of the great high priest, that Passover lamb is brought before the priest and made ready for the sacrifice. Made ready. The Lamb of God, the Passover, himself is made ready. And one disciple who knew the high priest went into the house ahead of Peter. We read that Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. This disciple goes to the damsel at the door and says, "Let this man in. Bring him into the house." And Peter entered. But as he enters, the damsel that kept the door saith unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And he saith, "I am not." As he enters, the damsel that kept the door says unto him, "You know Christ. You know him." And he says, "No, I don't. No, I don't." And while Christ is interrogated within, as the sacrifice of the Passover is prepared, there Peter stands by a fire of coals, in the priest's house, by which Peter and others warm themselves. He is there in the house. The priest is there with Christ, the sacrifice, the lamb. A fire is lit, a fire of coals. The disciple has brought Peter in, and the damsel at the door says unto Peter, "You know him. You're a follower of him." And he says, "No, I don't." That is the setting in which we read of this sinner, Peter, who denies the Lord. A sinner like you and like I. We are all as Peter. We all by nature would deny Christ. Even when we have heard his gospel. Even when we have been brought to knowledge of the truth, our hearts resist and deny. You may have been brought by a disciple into the house. You may have been led in by the door. You may have heard the truth concerning Christ, the Lamb of God, the Passover. You may have heard the truth concerning your sin, concerning Christ, concerning why he came, who he is, what he suffered. You may have heard and you may know. And the damsel at the door may say unto you, "You know, you've heard." And yet, like Peter, you and I, by nature, will say, "I know him not." We deny. And yet Peter looked on. He went in. He stood by the fire. He warmed himself. He took all the benefits he could gain to deliver himself from the cold, from the darkness. He sought warmth. He sought light. He sought, as it were, salvation. He took what he could get. And yet, he denied the Lord. By nature, we're just the same. The Lord has given us our life, our health, all that we have. He's given us the world in which we dwell. We take the warmth from him. We take all that he gives us. We may even take the knowledge of the truth and the gospel and perhaps live our lives according to some moral code. Maybe we seek to make ourselves presentable unto God, that he might see something good in us. We will take all we can. And yet when we are asked, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you his disciple?" we say, no. I know him not. I'm not one of his. We deny. He was close by. Peter was there. He'd heard the gospel. He'd heard the gospel from Jesus' lips. He knew. He knew him. He knew the truth. And yet at this hour when Christ so needed him, at this hour when Christ had been taken away, captured and was facing death, when Christ needed his disciples, Peter denied him. Mine hour is come, Jesus said. And at that hour he denied him. And we may see Christ rejected by all. Rejected by all humanity, all the world, all around us. Everyone we encounter may scoff and mock and deride him. We may see him trodden underfoot and spat upon. We may spit upon him ourselves. And yet despite all that we see, how evilly Christ is treated, even in our day and age, even by our peers, even when we see him rejected, though innocent, our hearts are hard and we deny him. Are you like that? Is this you? If one should bring you to the house and the damsel at the door of the house says unto you, don't you know Christ? Do you deny? You've heard, you know, and yet you say, I know him not. I do not believe. Yes, Peter here is the sinner. He's you and he's me. We're all Peter here. Though one should bring us to the door of the house, though one should lead us in to see Christ, to hear the gospel, to know the truth, our hearts rage, no, I know him not. We'll even curse in our denial. And yet who do we deny? We deny the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the offering that God has given to spare us from judgment and wrath because of our sin. Here Peter was a sinner. He needed salvation. He knew that in a natural sense, there in the cold he stood to warm himself by the fire. There in the dark he saw by the light of the fire. He knew he was weak by nature. He knew he needed salvation. And here, God's Passover lamb is prepared as the salvation of sinners. The very one that Peter needed, the Saviour, a lamb offered in his place to take the wrath of God against his sins. The one he needed, he denied. And if you and I are here, hearing the gospel, brought in by a disciple into the house, led in by the door, and the damsel says unto us, don't you know him? The very one of whom we hear, Christ the Lamb of God, he's the one we need to deliver us from ourselves, to deliver us from our wretchedness, our sin, our denial. Without him, we're lost in the darkness. Without him, we'll be thrown upon the coals of that fire eternally because of our sins. But here we read of one, a lamb, who was roasted upon the fire for us, who endured the wrath and judgment of God for sinners, for his people, for Peter. Was it your Passover? Was it your Passover? In Exodus Chapter 12, we read of this Passover. We read of its institution. When that people of Israel, captive in Egypt, bound by their sin in captivity in this world, unable to escape, unable to save themselves under the oppression of the Egyptians, when they were there, God told them, I will send a destroyer into the land. I will send mine angel, and he shall destroy. But if you have a lamb in your house, slain and roasted upon the fire, and if its blood has been daubed upon the doors, then I will pass over you. I will spare you. And so the children of Israel did. Each house they prepared a lamb for the slaughter. They found a perfect, unblemished, unspotted lamb. It was offered up. It was roasted upon the fire and eaten, but before that its blood was daubed upon the doors of the house. And in the night, in the darkness, in the cold, the angel of the Lord came by. And where there was no blood, he judged. He judged the sin within. But where there was blood upon the house, he passed over. He passed over. Here in this house of the high priest, a lamb, Jesus Christ, was prepared for the Passover. He was examined of the high priest, questioned, interrogated. They sought to find a blemish in him and they could not find one. Oh yes, they found false accusation to lay to his charge. Oh yes, they decided he was guilty, but they found no ill in him. They found no guilt in him. Jesus answered them, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? He was a perfect, unblemished lamb, prepared for the slaughter. And his blood, once shed, was daubed upon the doors of his house, that all that are found therein, though in themselves they may be the greatest of sinners, though they may deny him threefold, though they may be a Peter who abandoned him in his hour of need, though they may be a sinner like you and I, all those found in the house under the blood would be spared. Peter was a sinner. A cursing, denying sinner in that house near Christ. And yet Christ's blood washed him clean. Exodus 12 we read, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Here this lamb, Jesus Christ, is prepared, his blood shed. He was roasted with fire in the darkness of the night upon the cross for Peter. For Peter's unbelief, for Peter's denial, for Peter's sin, for Peter's rejection, was he roasted under the wrath and the judgment of God for you? Was he your Passover lamb? Is his blood that which washes you clean? Has his blood been daubed upon the door of the house that God has led you into? Has God sent out his disciple to you to say, come in. Come in by the door. The Passover is ready. Look unto him and be ye saved, as he come unto you. The door. There was a damsel at the door who let Peter in, who said unto him, aren't you one of his? Don't you know him? Don't you know him? And Peter said, I am not. I know not this man. Is that you? Has God brought you by the gospel to this door? And does the damsel speak unto you? Is there blood over the door to wash away your sin? Yes, the blood of that lamb was daubed on the doors of the house. And here at this house, this palace of the high priest, that Lamb of God is prepared for the sacrifice. The one sacrifice for sin of which the Passover lamb was but a figure. It's his blood which must be on the door. Have you seen his blood? Has God taken that blood and applied it? Is it upon the door of your heart? Has he washed you with that blood within? Can you look upon it and say, though I've denied him, threefold, though I'm utterly guilty, God's offered up this blood on my behalf. He's taken it, he's washed me in it. There's my hope. There's my hope upon the door, this blood of Christ. Here Peter's been brought in through this door. He stands by the fire while the lamb is prepared. Prepared for judgment, for wrath, for the fires. Prepared for Peter's sins. Prepared to be offered for his unbelief. Prepared to be offered for his threefold denial. Prepared to be offered for his rejection and hatred of Christ. Prepared for Peter's salvation. Was Christ there prepared as a lamb for the offering? For your sin, your unbelief, your denial, your rejection, your hatred, your salvation. After this, Christ was taken out to the hall of judgment. Having been prepared in the priest's house, he was taken to the hall of judgment, where judgment was declared. And then he was led away to be executed. The Passover lamb spared the houses of those upon whose doors it was, the blood was daubed from the judgment and the wrath of God against sin. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God is a God of righteousness, of judgment. Our sins will be judged. They will be judged. And they will either have been judged in Christ and washed away by his blood, or they will be judged in us, in our souls for eternity. Oh, that we should be under that blood. Oh, that we should have a Passover offered for us. Oh, that when brought to hear of this Passover, When a disciple of Christ should come out unto us in the darkness outside and by the gospel lead us to the door of the house of God, lead us to the door of the house of the high priest, when he should come unto us and bring us through the door, oh, that that door should have blood applied for us. Not only was there a door through which Simon was brought, but there was a damsel at the door who met him and spake unto him. Who is this damsel a figure of? She is, as it were, a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, who stands at the door of his house, who keeps the door, and says unto those that come by, do you know the Saviour? You know him. You know him. She declares unto the world around, you know this man, Jesus Christ. You know him. And what is our response as sinners when we hear this? When we hear the gospel preached, when we hear the damsel declare Christ unto us and ask us, do you know him? Are you one of his? What is our response? When we stand at the door and hear the gospel of Christ, how do we respond? How do we respond when the damsel at the door that keeps the door says unto us through the gospel, don't you know him? We deny. Like Peter, by nature we say, no, I know him not. I will not believe. I know him not. How we reject the message. How we reject the gospel, though it's set before us. Though Christ might be right there before us, though the damsel might point and say, he's inside, you know him. And we deny. Despite a threefold witness, Peter denied three times, and immediately the cock crew. Matthew records this like this, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And in Luke's gospel we read, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Before the morning, before the dawning of the day, before the cock had crowed thrice, Peter had denied Christ three times, as we all have done. In the darkness of the night of our sin, we've continually denied him. I do not know him. No matter how many times the gospel's been preached unto us, no matter how close we've been brought to the truth, we may be there at the house, at the door of the house. We may be there near unto Christ himself. The disciples may declare him unto us. The church preaches him unto us. The damsel at the door says, you know him. And despite all of this, we deny. Three times over, Peter denied him. Our denial of this truth is threefold. Threefold. We deny the Father, we deny the Son, we deny the Spirit, We deny every declaration and revelation of the truth. Our unbelief, our darkness is total. It's total. Our blindness is complete. We can hear as many times as we like and we deny it. The Father can come unto us and say unto us, "This is my Son, hear ye him," and we will not hear. Christ can stand before us and say, "I am the door. I am the water of life. I am the great shepherd. I am the life. I am." And we deny him. The Spirit of God can come in the gospel and preach him unto us and declare him unto us and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we say, "Away with this man, crucify him." Our unbelief is total. Despite the threefold witness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we deny. There's a threefold witness around us too. Creation itself witnesses to God's existence, his almighty power and Godhead, to the person of Jesus Christ. Every day it witnesses. The sun rises up, the darkness goes, the light and the heat of the sun shines, and we're witness to and we say no. Every day the Word of God sits upon the page, there to be read, there to be heard. We may have read it many times. We may have heard it preached many times. And we say no. And yet even within our own being, in our own conscience, God has spoken. He says unto us, "You know I am. You know my Son. You know it's the truth. You know that one day you will stand before me. We know." And yet, despite the threefold witness, we carry on denying until the cock crows, until the light of the sun arises, until the day star springs up, when the light shines, when the morning comes, when Christ turns and looks upon us, then we know. Then we know. And then, as Peter did, we will weep bitterly over our sins. Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. If the sun should rise, if the light of the gospel should shine, if Christ should turn and look unto you and I, and we see him with eyes opened by the Spirit, with the eyes of faith, then we will know. We may deny threefold. We may deny the threefold witness of God himself to the truth. We may deny the threefold witness in creation, the word of God, and our own conscience to the truth. We may deny the Father, the Son, and the Spirit themselves, all three as one declaring the truth in Christ. We may deny, for we're all Peters. We all know there's a God and we deny him. We all know of Christ and we deny him. We all resist the witness of the Spirit. We may deny. But if Christ should look, our denial will be brushed aside. Yes, one gaze, one look from Christ himself will break our hearts. One look. One ray of light from the Son of Righteousness will take away the darkness. One drop of his blood applied to the door through which we enter will wash away all of our sins. One drop of his blood sprinkled within our hearts will melt us and break us. Oh, that the Lord would be pleased to send a disciple out from the house unto you and I to say, come in. Oh, that the damsel at the door may preach the gospel and say, you know him. And that despite our threefold denial, despite our unbelief, oh, that the Lord himself, our Passover, the sacrifice, the Saviour, would turn and look unto us and shine his light into our hearts. May the love of Christ himself be shed abroad in our hearts. Loving his own, he loved them to the end. Oh, that he should look upon us in love, mercy and grace, and that like Peter who denied him, we might be lifted up to follow him to the end, to know him, to love him, to preach him, to know the Passover, to be washed in his blood, to have his life forevermore. Oh, that Jesus would turn and look unto us. Amen.